on the line, Attorney General of the State of Alabama, Steve Marshall, joining us now. Attorney General, thanks for your time. And you were in our area today for a press conference announcing the process for people here in Alabama to file claims against Terminix. So walk us through that, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks, all. Good afternoon. Yeah, it was great to be in Mobile, and I really appreciate what only Ashley Rich did to sort of notify us of this problem, but also continue to help us. But today is the next phase on the settlement that we announced back in November. We now have a receiver appointed, which frankly is not foreign to the folks on the Gulf Coast. If they recall some of the individual claims back during BP, that it went to a third party to help us administer. But now that we have a receiver appointed, the $25 million direct consumer benefit fund is fully funded. A website is up. For those that have an interest in this, it's at TerminixFund.com. But we think now the process is in place to begin allowing up to 30,000 customers in Alabama to take advantage of the settlement.
So, and does the math work out the amount of, I mean, do y'all have any way of knowing what the individual damages are for the 30,000 versus how much is in the fund?
Yeah, well, the fund will be replenished. So,
okay.
Terminix is obligated to cover all claims. Their initial estimate would be that it wouldn't exceed $25 million, but now that's up to the receiver. And if you recall, Sean, it's kind of a variety of areas. Now, some things, particularly as it relates to people that are in Mobile and Baldwin counties, there's not much they're going to have to do on some of this. There was $10 million separate and apart from the $25 million fund allocated to retreatment of homes, and that is now ongoing and should be ongoing, and those Terminix customers don't have to do anything to be able to receive that benefit. And then also, right now, all present Terminix customers that go back to 2019 and 2020 are going to be directly issued refunds from the receiver for where they were overcharged for the fees, and they're not going to have to file a claim on that as well. We expect those checks to be going out sometime in the month of May.
So, and let's take us back to November. I know we talked about this back then, but you have District Attorney, you have Ashley Rich come to you with this, there's a myriad of things, right? There's the charging for raising, increasing rates, and then not treating, what are they guilty of? I mean, is there can you give it in a couple sentences?
Yeah, sure. So under the Deceptive Trade Practices Act, it looks at allegations of fraudulent business practices. And what our investigation concluded is there were multiple violations, one of which dealt with overcharging. Some of it was lack of the treatment that was provided. Others that there was an effort to remove people by dramatically increasing prices from the Terminix rolls. And so we worked with Terminix. And let me also say this, Sean. Terminix is under new ownership and new leadership. And I'm grateful for the fact that they proactively have attempted to resolve this. And so it is a myriad of opportunities for folks to be able to file claims. Some of which, again, will be paid automatically. Then there are others that are non-Terminix customers that will need to be able to go to the website, and there they can fill out a claim electronically, or they can paperwork submit it in paper, where it can look to damages that occurred as a result of termite damage on the home. It can be the overcharging that took place and that somebody had to move to another company to be able to receive pest control services. And so I would encourage anybody that had a connection to Terminix, make sure they go to that website and contact the receiver directly, and there's an email address located there as long as a telephone number, and they can get all their questions answered.
Okay, so even this interesting, that part where somebody who had to, they had Terminix and then left and went to another provider, they can also apply for funds there for that move.
They can, and in fact, even if the additional charge is less than $650, they're going to be entitled to a one-time $650 payment. If it's beyond that, they'll be entitled to what the difference is, and then potentially a refund for excess payments made in 2019 and 2020. So that's why I'm really encouraging folks, particularly along the coast, because that seems to be where it was hardest hit, to go out and look at the website directly, or, again, to be able to call the receiver. I know we've tried to put out that information today in the press about how to get a hold of that, but they can also call the Attorney General's office and ask for the consumer interest line, or they can go to our website that also contains information.
Talking to the Attorney General of the State of Alabama, Steve Marshall, about this, you talk about Is it historic for consumer? You had said this back in November about it being a historic day for consumer protection. How historic, and has your phone been ringing with AGs from other states?
Well, it hadn't been ringing from AGs from other states, but it has been with Alabama consumers. And I really, again, I go back and tell you how much I appreciate Ashley Rich's leadership on this, because she's helped us through this process. But when we talk about a historic settlement, we have not seen anything with either the breadth of the number of individuals covered as well as the amount of the settlement in the history of the state. And so, again, I'm really pleased at what our team did. But I also want to say that I'm grateful for the fact that Terminix has stepped up and acknowledged what they needed to do here without the need for further litigation. And so the hope now is moving forward that it's in the hands of the receiver, the process to be able to allow Alabama customers to get whole again is the next phase in what really we were shooting for throughout these negotiations.
Timelines here, are there? Is there a end point that somebody needs to be in by?
Yeah, there's a two-year window to be able to do this. So we encourage people to be proactive. Again, you know, we initially thought, Sean, that there was roughly 13,000 or so individuals covered by this. Now we're learning that that number may be up to 30. And so we are very comfortable with this receiver. We've had experience with this group before. But obviously processing a significant number of claims doesn't happen overnight. And so really trying to work through these individually. But the sooner that individuals can submit the claims to the extent that they otherwise are in that category I described earlier, that it would just come out automatically, the sooner we can begin to process what people are entitled to recover.
Okay. Now, you've said they can call your office, but the website is, do you have the address again? I know we'll link it through. I think it's up on our Facebook page, but.
Yeah, it's TerminixFund.com. And, you know, they may be like me, not always spelling Terminix right, but that's TerminixFund.com.
If we get a second here, I want to kind of shift gears for just a second, because some announcements came out. Of course, I'm going to circle around to ask you about the subject you and I talk about all the time. But before that, you had an announcement came out, like Thursday or something, that a $573 million multi-state settlement over this opioid crisis. We hadn't talked about this recently, but this is a big story.
It is, and it's just, you know, I guess I think the beginning of what people will see moving forward, whether it be as a result of settlement or the litigation that we have currently set in May. But Alabama will receive roughly 1.5% of that total, be paid out over a four-year period. And one thing, Sean, that I think we've talked about is that I am absolutely committed as we get funds in, that number one, it's got to go toward the issue of abating or reducing the issues that have been created as a result of opioids. Now, roughly $8 or $9 million coming to Alabama is just going to be a start. And so one of the things that we will attempt to do is to direct those funds to existing programs or plans that are in place in some of our hot spots. You know, for example, Walker County is one across the state that has been dramatically hit by this, as it involves addiction and overdose deaths. So, you know, you would think that that would be an area that would be targeted initially. But this is, again, just the beginning. This was a third-party advisor to many of the companies involved in the marketing and distribution of opioids, and has been a part of the work that we've been doing for quite some time.
You and I have been talking about this subject for years. You talk about Walker County, but at a certain point, it was every county in the state of Alabama had a pretty big issue with this. Have you seen success? Are we turned a corner, or any kind of cliche like that?
Yeah, Sean, if you'd asked me a year ago, I would have told you I definitely thought that we had success and we're turning the corner. But the sad reality is that one of the major impacts of COVID has been that we've seen our opioid overdose deaths increase and opioid use increase. And it's not just Alabama, but across the country. And I think it kind of makes sense that as we've become a little more isolated as a result of COVID, that we've had more difficulty in accessing treatment services because of the limitations on being able to gather, that we've seen a detrimental impact there. But again, that's hopefully just something that we can overcome as a result of getting a little bit back more to normal. But yet it remains an issue and one that needs to be a priority for us in this state.
Right. And that this subject you and I talked about so many times, and your fight along with attorneys general from elsewhere about the census. I mean, it looks like this is what? I mean, is this a done subject? We're going to be dealing with the aftermath of this? Or where does it stand?
Let's hope not. You know, it was very disappointing to see President Biden withdraw the memorandum that the president issued several months ago that would have required the Census Bureau to send him a count of those who are in this country unlawfully for him to consider removing them. But it doesn't change where our litigation stands. We actually had briefs to be filed with the judge last week. We've heard the Census Bureau is planning on releasing numbers sometime in April. And then, Sean, everything that we're hearing, frankly, is that Alabama is right at that line of either keeping the seven or losing one to another state. And so we will continue to monitor that as well. But we're continuing to push our litigation, which I think you and I have discussed on many fronts. Not only we think it's sound constitutionally, but just makes an awful lot of common sense.
But when do we find out? You know, we just got about a minute left. Is there a time that we are going to get a, you know, to know?
Yeah, I think once we see the census numbers in April, give
okay.
the judge an understanding of whether or not, in essence, our case is moot because we have not lost a seat. But beyond that, you know, we're continuing to push the ball forward in our case in front of Judge Proctor, and we're going to do that until that case is over.
Okay, so but the first thing we should be looking at here is April, right? That should
at least the initial word out of the Census Bureau here recently was that's when they expected to have some initial numbers for everybody to review.
All right. As we move forward through session two, watch this and get the Attorney General mad at me. Got to get you back on to talk about what is and what's not gambling right now in the state and going forward.
Yeah, we're happy to do it. I've not seen any bill yet. And I think as you and I talked about before, you know, my job is to enforce the law.
Mm-hmm.
I think whatever they do, if they want to pass a bill, it needs to be very clear what is allowed and what isn't allowed so that we don't continue to deal with these one-off situations that cause problems for both law enforcement and prosecutors across the state.
Hey, before we wrap, I got people asking. They've gone to the website here. They said, hey, I'm seeing the case number and all that stuff. If they're on there, do they just click the file a claim button, or is that how they do it when they're on that Terminex fund? Okay.
They do, to be able to file a claim. And again, if there are any specific questions that aren't answered on the website, there is an email link on the Contact Us page, and they can contact them directly, or they can call the Office of the Receiver as well.
Very good. Attorney General, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us today, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Sean. Take care.
There he is. Attorney General of the State of Alabama, Steve Marshall, our guest.